We're ending a series concerning encounters with Jesus that we looked at the last several weeks from the book of John, and moving on to a question that is should be easy for someone to answer, but I think that if you ask a Christian, you ask just anybody, say, okay, explain what faith is. What is faith? Maybe a difficult question to answer. You ask somebody to explain grace, you say, well, that is a little more difficult. Explain the work of the Holy Spirit, they may stumble over that. Explain creation, explain a lot of things we read out in the Bible. And in the spur of the moment, somebody says, well, that's a little bit hard to do. I don't know if I can really put it into words what that means. The faith is like that for some people. What is faith? It's a very serious subject to discuss because the answer to this question has formed entire Christian denominations. The answer to this question has guided people to put their soul on the line according to how that question is answered and say, this is what faith is, therefore I'm going to design my life around that answer because this is what I believe about faith. They directed their whole lives spiritually based on this. So it's a very serious subject. It's a very serious question to answer. What is faith? Is it simply just somebody saying, I believe that there is a God, that I'm not an atheist, therefore I have faith? I believe God exists. I believe that even Jesus is the Son of God, and so that is all that faith is. There are many who believe that. Are those statements of faith? Of course they are. But is that all that is included in faith? So I want us this morning to just consider this question and think of really some real fundamentals of faith. A few broad categories of faith. At the end, we'll look at some specifics related to this question, but it's a very serious one that has to be addressed, has to be answered seriously. The first one is, where does faith come from? How does somebody get faith? How does it get into their heart? How does somebody acquire faith? It has to start somewhere. All of us could get together and educated adults could get in the same room and say and understand that a baby doesn't have faith because they don't understand things related to Scripture and sin and who Jesus is. We would all understand that. We would all agree that it'd be hard for a child to have faith in God. So at what point does somebody say, I now have faith? Where did they get it? Where did it come from? Did they get it from genetics? Well, my parents were faithful, and I grew up in a Christian home, so that means that I have faith too. They took me to worship services and Bible studies, and therefore I have faith. Where does it come from? Is it something God just sort of puts in people? And he gives this person faith, but he didn't give this person over here any faith. And you just either have it or you don't. Well, the Bible's pretty clear that we get faith from the Bible. That's where it starts. Faith is developed when we read and study the Bible, the Word of God. And when His message, when His Word penetrates our hearts, we now have faith. We now direct the trust in our lives. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, a verse that you probably know very well. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. That's why we evangelize. That's why you teach somebody else. Faith comes from hearing the word of Christ, hearing the message of the gospel. Somebody hears that, and they have faith. It doesn't really come, the Bible says it doesn't come from anywhere else. It doesn't come from genetics. It doesn't come from something that just happened to you, that God put into you. Somebody knows nothing about God, nothing about faith, nothing about the Bible. Somebody else teaches that person. That's how they develop faith. And it also goes without saying that if somebody neglects God's word, somebody distances themselves from what we call the Bible, and it becomes like the Bible there on the screen, it's got dust all over it, that's when you hear people start saying, you know, my faith is weak. I'm not as faithful as I used to be. I rarely hear that statement from people that read the Bible every day. I don't hear those kind of things from people who open their Bibles, set aside time in the day, and focus on God's Word. I don't have faith from those kind of people. For the people that say, I don't feel close to God. God is away from my life. On Sunday morning, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to read the Bible. I don't want to pray. I don't want to serve my fellow man. I don't want to do anything related to that. When somebody starts saying those things, a good question to ask them is, when's the last time you really studied the Bible? When's the last time you really read the Bible? Not in Sunday school, not when somebody else was leading you in it. When did you take your own Bible and read it? Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. That's not just when we first become a Christian. That has to stay with us. That's how faith is maintained, is continuing to hear the Word of Christ. We shouldn't have Bibles that look like this. How long would it take if I came to your house for you to find your Bible? Shouldn't take very long, because if you read it all the time, you say, well, it's right over there. Read every day. I know where it is, just as easy as I know where my shoes are and where the car keys are and all those kinds of things. It's part of my daily routine. It's part of my life. If I'm going to be gone, if I'm going to go on vacation, be away, I always take my Bible with me. If there's any adjustment, if I move houses, if I rearrange the house, the Bible's always close by. It's always where I can easily access it. But if I were to go in your house and say, hey, where's your Bible? And say, I think we got one downstairs. Well, maybe, I don't know, where do you put it? I don't know, I forgot. Well, I left it in church. It's in the church building. I just leave it there because I'm not going to read it any other time, so I'll just leave it in the pew and I'll look at it next Sunday. Hard to maintain faith when you neglect the Word of God. That's an easy way to drift. Because when you're not reading God's Word, the world is putting messages in your ear every day. They don't stop. The world doesn't send its message out just on one day a week. So why do you only want to read God's Word one day a week? If they're not going to stop, then why should we stop? So we need to know that about faith. Where does it come from? It comes from the Word of God, and that's where it's maintained. Well, why do we need it? I know where it comes from, God's Word, but why do I need to have faith? And you say, that's a silly question. Of course, we need to have faith in God. But this verse really does get to the heart of that matter. Because people ask all the time, how do I know I'm pleasing God? On a day in and day out basis, how do I really know if I'm doing something that pleases God? That's a good question. That's an honest question. I mean, really, how do I know that God is pleased with what I do every day? This verse makes that very plain, answers that question. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You want to know if you're pleasing God or not, where's your faith? And then it goes on to describe kind of what that faith encompasses. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. That's faith. If I have faith, I please God, but it has two components. I believe that God exists, that he is, and that having faith, that if I maintain my faith, I'm going to be rewarded for that. Now again, you read the rest of the Bible, you can see that it doesn't mean necessarily that in the next 5 minutes I'm going to be rewarded for my faith. That since I'm faithful, I'm immune to pain in this world. Since I'm faithful, then nothing bad is going to happen to me. That's not what the greater context of the Bible says. You know, Jesus never said that. You know, Jesus didn't live that way himself. He endured all the pain the world has to offer. But we receive an ultimate reward because of our faith. Eventually, one day we go to heaven. Where does it come from? It comes from the Bible. That's where it has to be maintained. We have to have it because that's the way we know that we are pleasing God every day. But three sort of fundamental aspects of faith I want us to look at for just the next few minutes. Faith requires confidence in the future. It requires confidence in the future. Famous verse. The wording is a little bit different depending on your translation. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. It's hard to say that you have faith in something, but not connect that with any hope of the future. Isn't faith by nature about having confidence in the future? If you have faith in your spouse, you say, I have faith in you. Well, that's a comment that is talking about the future. When you say that, you're saying that that person isn't going to leave me. They're not going to betray me. It's about what's going to happen tomorrow. It's hard to say you have faith in something, but think that tomorrow that person or that thing is not going to work. If you think it's not going to work out in the future, you don't have faith. You can't say that's something you have faith in. Hebrews says faith is the assurance of things hoped for. You're putting trust in the future. You have a conviction of things that you haven't even seen yet. You're convicted. You're convinced of what is in the future. So when you look at yourself and you say, do I have faith in God? How do you think about the future? How do you think about what's down the road? How do you look at the next week of your life? How do you look at the next 10 years of your life? How do you look at the end of your life? And if you look at any of those things and say, I don't think God is going to bless me. What's coming down the road for me is not going to be good. Well, then you don't have faith. When it comes to faith, there's a confidence in the future. How do you see each stage of your life going forward? The most faithful people I know, and I think it would be true of you as well, the most faithful people that you know, look at the future with a smile. And that's not because they're naive. That's not because they haven't lived long enough to know things can go wrong. They just say, you know what? If I stay with God, He's always going to stay with me. The question is, if I'm going to stay with Him. And if we're together, He's going to work it out. It may not be easy, but He's going to work it out. That's faith. There's a confidence in the future. The quote from Desmond Tutu, hope is being able to see that there is light despite of all the darkness. You see all the darkness around and all the despair. Somebody with faith, somebody with hope says, I can see the light. I can see that things are going to get better. Faith also requires a trust in God's promises. Again, it's the same in any relationship. If I have faith in somebody and they say, tomorrow, I'm going to come cut the grass. I know you've been out of town. I know the grass is a little bit high, so you're on the phone with them and say, hey, I'm going to run by your house tomorrow and cut your grass. If you have faith in that person, you hang up the phone, you know tomorrow the grass is going to be cut. They made you a promise. And you say, I have faith in you. You don't have faith in them. And you hang up the phone, you say, probably not going to do it. You think, you're thinking to yourself, when I get home, I'm going to have to cut my own grass. I know what they said, but I don't believe they're going to do it. You say you have faith in God, that means when you read the Bible and He gives a promise, that means you believe that. He's going to do it. I trust in God's promises. Isn't that what Abraham did? I mean, Abraham got a message from God and said, you got to go. You got to go to another place. You got to go where I send you. And he said, here's what's going to happen. Your descendants will be like sand on the sea shore. Like it'll be like the stars in heaven. All these things are going to take place through you, but you got to trust. You got to have faith. Hebrews 11 explains the faith of him and so many other people from the Old Testament. When God promised something, people of faith said he's going to do it. If God says, if you march around the city of Jericho once a day, 6 days, and 7 times on the 7th day, we believe the walls are going to come down. Because we believe in the promises of God. God said it, I believe he's going to do it. You believe that you'll be saved. You read the Bible and you say, I obey the gospel the way the Bible prescribes, and the Lord added me to the church, and I'm maintaining my faith in God. You believe that you're going to be saved. There's a lot of people that don't believe that. They don't believe the promises of God. They don't believe that God will save them. So I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to make it. God said he was going to save me, but I don't know. I'm sure God would look at that verse and say, well, then why did I tell you how to do it? Why did I take the time in God's Word to say what you need to do to become a Christian if you're going to doubt what the benefit is? If you're going to question what comes from that, you'll never believe that you're saved. Then why did I tell you? I mean, wouldn't that be a logical response from God? I told you what to do, and you did it. But you don't believe what I promised that comes with it. What I promised that comes with it. You believe in heaven. You believe God is working in your life to bring about His will. So many people don't believe that. They don't believe Romans 8:28. They don't believe God is working in their life to use the good and the bad to bring about His will. And they know, they'll look at somebody else and say, oh, God's working in their life. Yeah, I can see that. God's working in their life over there. Yeah, that's pretty obvious. But no, He doesn't do anything for me. He ignores me. Even though the Bible said that that's one of the blessings of being a Christian, not this Christian, I don't think He's doing that for me. You believe the promises of God. You trust His promises. And He's going to do what He says He's going to do. If you don't, you don't have faith. You don't have faith. Can't say that you have faith. You have confidence in the future. Trust the promises of God. And finally, faith requires an obedience to God's Word. And here's really the core of the matter, the central tension of the matter of faith when you talk to friends and relatives in the Christian community. Because many people say that all that faith is, again, a belief in God, a belief in Jesus, that's it. That's all. That's all that's needed. That's all that faith encompasses. That's the end of the story, the end of the discussion. And if somebody has that, if they have that mental affirmation of God, nothing else is necessary for that person to be a Christian, for that person to be saved. That's it. Faith is over there, and everything else that the Bible commands is over here. They're separated. But the Bible doesn't say they're separated. I don't know of any verse in the Bible that says that the commandments of Christ, the commandments of Scripture, are somehow disconnected from faith. And that's why I thought to illustrate this was just think of an umbrella with faith on it. The faith umbrella. And everything underneath it is covered by faith. Everything underneath it is faithful. Our acts of faith. I mean, somebody confesses Christ. Somebody says, I believe in Christ, that He's the Savior, and that He's my Lord. That's an act of faith. That's putting your faith in Christ above any person on earth. If somebody says, I'm going to repent of my sins, I'm going to change some sinful behavior in my life, and it's not going to be easy, and it's going to take a while, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to aim to do that in my life. That's an act of faith to change. It was difficult for Peter to change in his life. Peter went through quite a process of repentance. The Apostle Paul went through the most dramatic change probably anyone could ever make. Why did he do it? Because he had faith. When somebody's baptized into Christ, why would they do that? That's an act of faith. That's a demonstration of faith. That I believe that if I do this, I'm going to receive the promises of God that He gave in Scripture when I do this. If somebody goes out and teaches somebody else, evangelizes, spreads the gospel, spreads the good news, why are they doing that? Because they have faith. Why does somebody strive to tell the truth? Why does somebody not want to steal? Why does somebody want to be respectful? Why do people want to love their enemy even though their human instinct is to hate their enemy and want bad things to happen to their enemy? Why do they do those types of things? Because they have faith. Why does a missionary travel from America to the darkest parts of the world and take their families with them? Raise children in third world countries because they have faith. To say that faith is over here on the shelf by itself and everything else we do that we may do as Christians or is over here separated, that's not taught in Scripture. When somebody says, I don't need to be baptized, but I have faith. Doesn't make any sense. Doesn't mean they're not a smart person. Doesn't mean they're not a sincere person. Those things go hand in hand. They're not separated. When somebody says, well, I have faith, I believe in God, but you know, I'm not really going to worship. I don't really need to go to church, as we say it. Oh, but I have faith. That faith's going to save me. That doesn't make sense. It all has to do with faith. For by grace we have been saved through faith. And not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. The Bible doesn't say, for by grace you have been saved, and not of ourselves as a gift of God. Notice the editing that happened in that part. But some like to edit that verse and leave out the part that says through faith. And some people like to edit faith and say that it doesn't include the things that are under that umbrella. But we can't edit that way. all about faith. And it's all about being obedient to the things that God wants from our lives. All of it is faith. All of it is necessary. As we put all of our hope and trust in Him. Where is your faith this morning? You look at your life and you say, you know, I believe in God, I believe in His Son, but I don't live by faith. That's just something I talk about, but I really don't live by faith. Faith is weak this morning, and you need encouragement in that. We can pray with you. If you need to give your life to Christ and say, you know, I've lived under this notion that all I had to do was just believe in God, and that would be enough to save me, but now I understand that faith means doing all of these things. It's trusting in God and being obedient to His Word. That's faith. If I say I have faith, then those are things as well that I need to do. And you haven't done those things, and you need to be baptized in Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. We'll do that for you today. Whatever it is, please come while we stand and sing.